Hello and welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people about fat people. And today we have an episode mostly for InfiniFats. I know sometimes episodes are more general, but this episode is mostly for super fat and InfiniFat people, and it's about bar shopping, because those of us who are in those size ranges have a particular difficulty in finding cars that we can fit in and finding cars that we can drive. And it is incredibly stressful to try and figure this all out. So since the podcast began, I've fielded well over a dozen questions about this. And just in the last 6 months, I've had at least 6 people ask me about what kind of cars might work for them as an InfiniFat. And I was talking to someone on Instagram, Sarah, and she had an older car. And one day, a couple of weeks ago, she had a major issue when she was driving home from work. And so she DM'd me immediately as soon as she got home to ask me, you know, what kind of car I drive and if I knew of anything that might work for her. And unfortunately, I am just as panicked about the car situation as anyone. My car is a 2005 Honda Element and it's getting older. I mean, obviously it's quite old now. And unfortunately they don't make Honda Elements anymore. So I'm also in this spot where I have an older car that's so soon and I'm often in a panic about what I'm going to do next. So we kind of talked through it and I told her about some things that my friends drive and things that she might be able to try. And then she actually went to a dealership the next day to look at cars and she ended up buying something. So while she was at the dealership, she DM'd me again and suggested that we do a podcast episode about it and about everything that comes along with shopping for a car as an InfiniFat. So we decided to do that. So here is that episode. And I hope if you're an InfiniFat, there's something that's helpful here for you.
Well, hi there. My name is Sarah Hunter, online also known as S. Hunter Moon. I guess that's my little nom de plume. I am a fan of the podcast, a fellow InfiniFat, and really excited to be here.
Okay, I'm so excited that you are. Okay, so we're going to talk about cars today. So finding cars, especially for InfiniFats, feels completely impossible. It's especially because we're all shaped differently. So it's not like you and I are shaped similarly. So I could say I fit in this, you'll probably fit in this. But most other InfiniFats, like I can't say, hey, like this is the car that I drive. You should try it. You'll definitely fit because like maybe they're totally butt heavy or maybe they're super belly heavy or maybe they're not shaped the same way I am at all. And I think our bodies are so diverse at this size range that it's hard to determine what's going to work for each individual person. And because of that, it makes, well, for one thing, cars that actually fit InfiniFats in general are hard to find. And also, the process of actually shopping for a car that will fit us is incredibly daunting because we know that there are so many cars that aren't going to fit us. And so, Sarah, you recently did some car shopping. So tell me like what was going on and how you were feeling and how it all went.
Well, the whole thing, you know, in the day, I left that day feeling really positive, went into it feeling really terrified. a week later, I've definitely had some time to sort of process all of it and come to a more neutral conclusion about the overall experience and how I actually feel about the car that I got. Mm-hmm. it works, but that has caveats. You know, my old car I've had for 7 years. It was one of the original model Chevy Equinoxes. While I wouldn't say it was super roomy, I didn't have any problems. And as a tall, butt and thigh heavy Infinifat, as you like to say, it worked for me, especially because there wasn't a center console up against my hip and butt area. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that car started behaving badly about a year ago, leaks and transmission problems and all this stuff. And finally, last Friday, had a little terrifying moment where my transmission just stopped working on the highway on the way home from work. Oh my gosh. I kind of panicked. And before I even went in the house, that was when I had reached out to you and was DMing you. And I was like, hey, do you know anything about cars for people our size? Because you and I are built super similarly, although not exactly alike. Mm-hmm. I use the example. I figured if there's a car I know that she would fit in, because we both wear towards six of those leggings. Mm-hmm. So I knew that our legs and our butts down are probably pretty similarly shaped. And I know you told me you drove a Honda Element. Mm-hmm. And we had a conversation about how, you know, how this is so stressful. So I immediately after you and I talked, I was up all night till 3 o'clock in the morning trying to find used Honda Elements online. Mm-hmm. And of course, because they're discontinued, they're impossible to find. Yep. Or they have such high mileage on them. Mm-hmm. And here in I live in Arizona, and in Arizona, cars get really rough after a few years because of the heat.
Yeah.
Just plastic and everything. So you don't really want a car that's more than 10 years old here.
Yeah.
So ended up coming up with nothing. And of course, the other thing that you had suggested was the Traverse, because mm-hmm. I've heard from a lot of larger folks as well, fellow fatties, that the Traverse works for them also. I was a little skeptical. I am single and 35, not quite ready for that three-row, you know, almost minivan life.
Yeah.
No offense to folks who that works for them. You know, my sister is a average weight person who loves her Traverse, but I just wasn't quite ready to jump into that yet. But I did find some really decent, relatively, you know, 2014, 2015 model years for a decent price. There's a Chevy dealer right across the street from my house. That's where I bought my last car. So I really felt like I trusted them. Mm-hmm. So that kind of tempered me from being like full anxiety attack girl.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like where I was. I got no sleep, and then I just woke up Saturday. I started looking at finances. How much could I put down? How much could I expect to get back? I mean, because all of that is huge for anyone buying a car, yep. Let alone, you know, someone our size who has to find a car we can even fit in.
Right.
And that's the craziest part of it. So I went to the dealer, and this lady who came over to sell the car to me, she was a doll through this whole process. I said, hey, I was like, I hope you can be, I was really like outwardly like, and I've gotten to be this way over the years. I'm not embarrassed anymore. I'm like, hey, I'm huge. I need you to help me find something that works for me.
Yeah.
And she looks at me and goes, oh honey, there's nothing. She goes, I don't think we're going to have any problem. I think you'll fit in any of our cars.
No.
And then I went, I almost walked out. I almost turned around and walked out. Like that was, she was very nice, but I was like, I can't, like, I don't want to have to explain myself. And, so she had known when I called ahead that I was really interested in looking at the Traverses. Mm-hmm. So, she said, okay, let me walk away. She's like, I'm going to look in to see what we have on our inventory, what's within your price range, blah, blah, blah. So she actually, I could see where she went. She went over to work with another one of the salespeople who wasn't busy. And mind you, this was a Saturday, so this place was packed.
Yeah.
Also 100 degrees outside. Oh. So it was packed. It was hot. It was a lot. But she talked to this other other salesperson, and she's like, yeah, he told me that, you know, he does think that you know, we'll have to be a little careful about our choice of what we're going to have you take a look at. So the first thing she did was take me out to a Traverse. It was great. It was like you told me it would be. It was plenty of space, not perfect, but I don't think anything's ever going to be perfect for us.
No.
Because Detroit just doesn't care.
Right.
Like the automakers just don't care.
Right.
And the Traverse was great, but the used one that I saw that they had in stock was, and I know that this is a trick that they do, and I totally fell for it. They said it was unavailable for a test drive today because it was in the shop for cosmetic repairs. And I know that this is a tactic that salespeople use to get you to look at more expensive cars when you're coming into used car. So that kind of went down, and I kind of started balking. I was like, okay, I came to see that car. I told you that was the car I came to see. I know the Traverse will work for me. I guess I'll just wait till Monday when it's available. And of course, they're like, no, let's have you look at some other things. And this is where it got crazy. She was really great. She got a golf cart and was willing to take me around.
Oh, that was nice.
To the cars, which is nice because they have the golf carts, but normally they don't put customers in them. Mm-hmm. They normally make the customers walk the lot and look at the cars. So that was really nice of her, although it was still 100 degrees out, so it was still miserable. The first car she took me to after the Traverse was an Equinox. I told her, I said, I know I won't fit in that because the newer model Equinoxes have these giant center consoles in them. And my sister had one of those before she got her Traverse. I said, I won't fit. She's like, he thinks you will. Can you just try it? And I, you know, getting up and down with my knee, and I have slip discs in my back, and it was just, I was like, fine, I'll try it. And of course I got in and couldn't close the door.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And then she says, well, there's another option in the SUV range. She's like, it's the Chevy Trax. And I said, okay. Then she takes me over to it, and it's the tiniest thing I've ever seen for an SUV. And I just start panicking. I'm like, and I kind of told her, I said, I'm not going to just keep trying to smush my butt into these cars. You know, I told her, I said, you know, you guys were looking at legroom and headroom. I said, that does not mean a lot when you have extra size in your butt and your hips, mm-hmm. because you're already sitting 6 inches higher than a normal person.
Right.
And six or however many inches forward. So it was a lot of squeezing in and out of things, but the Trax is what ended up working and what I ended up buying. How I feel about that now after the fact, I think I just wanted to get the process over with, but it works. That's what I can say.
Mm-hmm. So, so how many cars did you end up sitting in? Do you remember?
6 or 7, probably.
Ugh, misery.
Yes.
And it's like, if they would have just listened to you, I'm sure there were at least 3 of those that you would not have gotten in on your own. Ugh, no. So annoying.
And I can tell just by looking, open the door, I can look in and tell you.
Right.
Like, and that's the thing. I think they were trying to be nice and show me that there were lots of options. But it's like, when you have a body like this, your entire life is spent planning.
Yeah.
Can I, you know, what's that awesome app that they just did the Kickstarter for? Can we all go?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's our life.
Yep.
Everywhere we go, restaurants, cars, rental cars, buses. And it's like, that was the most frustrating part of the process. I could tell she was trying to be really positive and kind, but I also felt a little bit like she wasn't listening to me either.
Yeah. 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 And also, she's a salesperson. So like, she just wants to get you in a car, like, no matter what it takes. Ugh, that's so frustrating. Cause it's like, if she would have just listened to you and let you tell her what you needed, then you would have felt much better about making a purchase from her rather than like making you get in and out of 100 sweaty cars, especially because getting into a car when it's hot outside is misery anyway. But it's when it's 100 degrees in Arizona and you have to do it 6 or 7 times. Like, I am shocked that you survived. I probably would not have. I would have been like, after the third one, I'd be like, that's it. I don't need a car. I'll figure it out. Exactly. Like, I gotta go.
You know, I think they normally will give you, like, they give you a bottle of water when you walk in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, just keep bringing them. I think I must have drank 6 because I was just hot and I was dehydrated. And of course, when the anxiety is roiling at that moment, that makes it worse.
I gotta say, all of this talk about cars that just aren't designed for us is bumming me out pretty hard. We see this in so many industries, and it's super frustrating. One company, however, that's getting this right is Big Fig Mattress. Big Fig saw the gap in the mattress market for a bed designed specifically for fat people and decided to make it happen. The Big Fig Mattress System is made for you. It features both high-density foam for comfort and 1,600 pocketed coils for support. My favorite feature, though, especially going into warmer weather, is the thermogel layer that keeps me from getting too hot in my sleep. I hate sleeping and getting sweaty. So I wake feeling cool and rested and ready to go. And there are so many more features than I can even list here. So do yourself and your sleep schedule a favor by going to bigfigmattress.com to learn more. Use the code FATLIP at purchase for $100 off and to let them know that I sent you. And because their sponsorship means so much to me and to this show, and they really help make this whole thing possible. So try the first mattress that was ever made for you and your body with Big Fig.
But yeah, I think I blew their budget for the free water bottles, but...
I mean, you bought a car from them. They can afford it.
Exactly. You know, and I think the sad thing was that by the time they finally figured out what I was going to buy and looked at all the options within that model, I was worn down at that point. And I almost felt like she sensed it. Like, I just wanted to buy the car and go.
Yeah.
So it kind of went from me coming in looking at a used Traverse that was going to be probably around $12,000. I ended up spending $19,000 on the Trax, and it was brand new. So that's the one thing, like, if I was going to advise fellow InfiniFats or regular fats or Lane Bryant fats or anybody who has issues with mobility, with fitting into places, with getting in and out of cars, do so much research ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I did some of that. You know, how many times can you Google best cars for, you know, morbidly obese people? Because of course that's the phrasing that they're going to use.
Right.
And all of those word.
All of those articles are terrible. Like,
they're awful.
There's one in particular that I can never, like, that is seared in my mind, that, like, is just full of, like, really offensive euphemisms for fat. And it, like, makes my blood boil every time I, like, have to go back. So my car is a 2005 Honda Element. And it's thankfully, it only has like 113,000 miles. Hopefully it's got a little bit further to go, so I won't have to worry about it anytime soon. But it's always in the back of my mind that, like, someday I'm going to have to replace this car, and it's probably not going to be very long from now. So, like, every once in a while I get on this, like, obsession where I'm looking for cars that I think might work. And, like, I will look at, like, absolutely every car that I can think of that, and, like, look at all the interiors, like, photos of the interiors, and see if I can try and figure out if there's enough room. But the problem is, like, there's always a measurement for the headroom, like the amount of headroom, and there's always a measurement for leg room, but, like, it's leg length, which is good for tall people, but, like, I need, like, a measurement for, like, width, where your knees go. Like, I need to know, like, I need to know how much room there is, because my legs just do not go, my knees don't go together. So I need to know how wide it is in the thigh and knee area, and whether or not, like, I'll have enough room to move my legs to drive the car. And, like, that is just nowhere. That nobody has that information. And so every time I'm, like, in this crazed, like, trying to figure out what I'm going to do, I'm, like, looking at all these pictures and thinking, like, you can only tell so much. And, like, there are some vehicles that you can look at those interior photos and be like, nope, definitely too small, but it's hard to tell on so many. And it's like, oh, I'm just dreading the day that I'm going to have to go and buy a new car. Because yeah, like I'll be 35 in a month and I'm married, but like I never want kids. I don't have any dogs or anything. Like, I'm not like an adventure sports person. I don't need a giant car. I definitely don't need a minivan. And like, I know like a lot of InfiniFats drive minivans and love them. And that's totally cool with me. Like, if that's what they like, but I just cannot be like, I can't be in that place yet. And like, if it comes down to it and that's my only option and I have to buy a minivan, that I will, but I will cry one single tear that day because like, I don't want to drive a minivan. So I don't know. I've been looking at so many things. I had actually never even heard of the Chevy Trax. Like, is it a new model?
I think they said they've been out since, is it 2013 or 2015?
Wow.
So, I mean, they're relatively new, but I had never heard of them either.
Yeah, like, I've sat in a new Equinox, and it's, like, impossible. So, like I told you, two of my very fat friends have Traverses. One is, like, very tall, super fat, and the other is about my height, which is, like, 5'6", 5'7". And she's like very butt and thigh heavy. I have another friend. My best friend is very short, but like very round, InfiniFat. And she drives a Honda Element and that she loves. So like, those are the cars that I think of when I think of like, okay, these are going to be my first stops. Wait, did I say Honda Element? She drives a CRV, not an Element. Mm-hmm. She drives a new CRV. So I think like those are going to be my first stops, but also like, what if those don't work for whatever reason? And also because they change these cars every model year, they like put in a bigger console or like change some dumb thing on the dash so you have less room. And so it's hard to know what you're actually going to get. And like, I've been like, should I get a pickup truck for a bench seat? I don't know. Like, it's just so stressful.
And that is exactly what I was kind of thinking. Like, cause I had, like you said, that crazed Googling until 3 a.m. trying to figure out what I was going to do the next day. And this is just something I already noticed even before I had gotten into the InfiniFat level of being, they don't make cars with room anymore. They want as small as possible on the outside, unless you're talking like, you know, big trucks and stuff. But your example, like the Equinox, I had the old one and it worked great for me.
Mm-hmm.
The new one, it's like a totally different car. And it's mystifying to me. Chevy has their line of non-hybrid, non-electric or whatever SUVs,
mm-hmm.
the Trax, the Equinox, the Traverse. How I fit in the top-end one and the bottom-end one, but not the middle one, I don't understand. I don't understand how that works.
Like, it makes absolutely no sense. And it just makes me wonder, like, I mean, I guess I know the answer to this. They are absolutely not thinking of fat people. Like, nobody in Detroit is thinking of fat people.
Not at all. I mean, little things that would make it easier for us to find a car, like a bench seat.
Yeah.
They don't make sedans or whatever with bench seats anymore. Like the old Impalas, even just 10 years ago, had them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like little, like, why does, and this has been my experience since driving the Trax for about a week and a half now. Why the obsession with bucket seats?
Yeah.
Why? They don't feel great. And I'm like, do average weight people just like to have their butts hugged? Like, I fully don't understand. Because the way the Trax seats are built is they're mostly like cloth. They call it like premium whatever, you know, cloth, microfiber or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trimmed in leather. And the bucket part of the bucket seats where it comes up and flares up on the ends is covered in that leather. So it presses my legs together at the top at the hip, and it is not comfortable. And I know that eventually, once I'm used to it, and I'll have smashed it down with my butt, with my butt after a while, it'll feel better. But if I get any advice for an Infinifat shopping for car, it would be three things. Plan ahead. Make sure it has a telescoping steering wheel, not yes. one that just goes up and down, but comes in and out.
Yes, for sure. Because
I need it to be as up and back as possible to get in and out with my hips. Mm-hmm. But then I can't reach. Like, I'm fingertips once I'm in the seat. So I have to have it telescoped so it can come towards me.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, and this is how I ended up with a car that cost $7,000 more than the one I went for, and $5,000 more than the base model Trax, is the seat adjustment. And this was huge because they had the normal manual seat adjustment ones that just go back and forth or up and down that mm-hmm. you pull a lever to do. Mm-hmm. But they do have the upgrade, of course, in most cars now to do the electric seat moving.
Yeah.
And the electric ones not only go up and down and back and forth, but they do tilt also.
Oh, nice. And
the amount of room difference that I found doing that was actually, there was a lot more room with the electric seat. I sound like I'm hashtag spawns for Chevy, but I'm really not. but I mean, that was something I didn't even realize that I was going to need to look at, was like, how does the seat move back and forth?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the one thing about the electric controls I've found getting in and out of someone else's car that has them, that sometimes when I'm getting out, my leg will push on the control, and then like I'm you know being jutted forward in the seat as I'm trying to get out, so it's like pressing me into the dash. So like I would have to like you know see it and make sure that it wasn't going to do that, but yeah, it's so hard. But I'm definitely putting the Trax on my short list, though, because got to do something. And like when I was looking at like pickup trucks, like obviously I have no need for a pickup truck. I'm not hauling anything. Like I'm not in construction. Like I have no need for a pickup truck. But if it would fit better, then I would totally like, you know, explore that route. But I also don't know that if I could get up into one. Like
that's my thing. Like the car lady suggested that, and I was like, "You guys don't have any that are normal height. Like they're all high."
Yeah, yeah. And people like get those running board things, but I will break that right off. Like there is that thing does not stand a chance.
That's too real. That's so true, though.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's just it's so hard, like trying to figure this all out.
And my whole thing is like now, like after a week and a half, I probably wish I had done a little more test driving than I did, just because, you know, when you're in Infinifat and depending on what conditions you have or whatever, I get edema in my legs. If I eat Chinese food the next day, my life is completely different than it was the day before.
Yep, for because, sure.
You know, the knee pain, the leg swelling, it's measurable. My pants are like measurably tighter the next day.
Yep.
And today was actually one of the days, and this was the perfect day for us to record. I had Chinese food for dinner last night, and I was like, I almost don't think I'm going to fit in my car today. Like, I got in, and it was like everything was an inch tighter. And there's so much junk in cars now, not just the consoles and the bucket seats, but, like, even on the door, mm-hmm. like, there's this big – it's a pocket, but it's like firm plastic. It's hard plastic. And it's like concave. So but the opposite of concave. So it's pushing out into my leg room.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's this huge pocket there that juts into my leg room. And it's huge. Like you could fit cans of soda, like six cans of soda in it.
Wow.
And I'm like, what would anyone need that for?
Right. And like how do I get it removed? So that I can have extra inches of space.
Exactly, because it's 4 inches deep into the car. So what I found, though, is like if I lift my leg up and push it, you know, brace it against the foot part on my left leg, mm-hmm. like I can like go above that little level of that plastic and I have a lot of extra leg room up there. But it's like, why? Like, why is there so much stuff? Why are the consoles so complicated now? Like, yeah. I get it. I love that I can set, you know, Bluetooth my phone and talk to people on the phone and listen to music in the car. But on the other hand, computer chips are tiny.
Yeah, car that's maker. The thing.
We don't need all this space anymore. It's not
right,
like
exactly.
It's all computers.
Yeah, and that, and like supposedly that's why consoles became a thing, is because a lot of the electronic components had to go in there because they were so big. But now all that stuff is so tiny that there is no need to take up a square foot in between your seats. Like, there's no need for that anymore. They don't need all that space. So, like, give it back so that my butt can go there.
I'm already nervous about the idea of my first lengthy drive. The longest I've driven so far is about 40 minutes in the car. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is something I didn't notice when I was test driving it. But my right thigh, especially on a little puffier days, I'm sitting on the emergency brake, basically. Yeah. It's fully, like, boof, into the side of my leg. And I had a little bit of this with my old Equinox, but it wasn't as bad as this is. And it's not, like, painful. But I know that if I was having a really bad day with, like, nerve pain, like, that, mm-hmm. that's going to be ugly. And I think this is the huge thing that car salespeople do. They take advantage of the fact that you're running on adrenaline and this is a stressful experience. Mm-hmm. And they really rush things to happen.
Yep.
And had I had more time to really test drive and maybe come back another day, although that would have been a whole nother stressful thing of trying to come back multiple times. But I don't regret buying the car. It does work for me. I can drive it safely. My belly and my thighs do not touch the steering wheel. And, you know, so like that's important safety wise. But it's like if I had to pull my e-brake, I'd be screwed because it's literally under my left, my right hip. But yeah. And then my right knee, when my car's in drive, does touch. Not too hard, but it does touch the gear shift.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that it's not a big deal now, but I worry because it's like, what happens if that gets worn down from being, even if it's lightly pressed,
right?
Like it's not built to be pressed against.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my concern. It's like in 2 years, is this going to be worn down and like, it's like coming loose? Like,
yeah.
So yeah, part actually, of me, wish... sorry, I'm go sorry. Ahead.
Actually, so I used to have a Volkswagen Beetle, mm-hmm. and which is like a pretty roomy car, and I would say like good for super fats, not good for InfiniFats, mm-hmm. Because there is like a lot of hip room, headroom. But my problem was eventually, so my right thigh always pressed into the button on the gear shift, and mm-hmm. my best friend, who's also an InfiniFat, she was always with me. And what would happen is, like, if we were going around, like, off an exit ramp, mm-hmm. so we'd be going around, like, leaning to the right, and my leg would press into the gear shift button, and hers, like, she would be shifting forward a little bit, and we would shift that car into neutral every time if the two of us were in the car. And oh, it's like, and I was like, yeah, okay, this car's got to go. Like, it is now, we're now at a point that this does not work for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just, it's just like, and like, there's no reason for a gear shift to be on the floor anymore. Like you can put it on the steering wheel, just like, but that's another thing. Detroit does what they want. Like they don't really consider anybody with mm-hmm. any kind of need for accommodation. They just put things where they want to put them.
And it's sometimes it seems arbitrary because I think a lot of it's like form over function for them. Even it's not just I don't yeah. even think it's about saving money on their end. I think they just want it to look cool. And I'm like, that's fine, because from the outside, my car is really cute now. But it's like I would have a beater of a car if I had to, if it meant that I actually had room.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been in a Honda Element before and those actually were fully roomy. Like I am totally mourning, and I didn't know until you told me that they don't make those anymore. I guess the I see them everywhere, but I think it's just maybe the people that have them really like them.
Yeah,
so it's they're like, keeping them forever.
Yeah, it's like one of those cars like that people think that they're in a fun club. You know how like people that have Mini Coopers or people that have Beetles, they all like wave to each other on the highway. The Element's sort of that way. Like people, like I guess because it was like originally a camp car. Or like marketed as a camp car, like you can take it off-roading and you can like take it into the mountains and mm-hmm. you can like they had all these weird attachments to like attach a tent to the back of it so you could like camp in the car. And mm-hmm. so it's like a thing that people are into that have them. And yeah, I think people like tend to hold on to them and they do last a long time. Obviously mine's a 2005. So, and it's still thankfully going strong. But yeah. And like, I was so sad when they stopped making them because it's like, now what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it's crazy to me because the car makers could be making bank if they had more accommodations for anything in their cars, for any, every unique type of person. Mm-hmm. I think they should have accommodations for it. Like, especially, you know, especially for people of size. If you consider, you know, statistics, blah, blah, I'm a data person, but I don't know what's real. It's like, if the majority of American adults are fat, super fat, or infinifat, like we're the majority of us are fat or higher, why are they still building cars for, you know, Napoleon? Like, right. Tiny people.
Right.
Like, that's what boggles the mind. The only cars that they build for big people are pickup trucks, and those are for dudes.
Yeah.
And or for women who need a pickup truck, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, they market that for men. It's for burly dudes, and every big car is marketed for men. And I think, hello, Detroit, if you're listening, not only do you have an opportunity to make your cars a little bit bigger and more accommodating, but you have a marketing opportunity to market bigger cars for women, because why are the only big cars for women that they're marketing minivans?
Yes. That's all. Yes.
That's I'm saying.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. I was telling my husband the other night that, like, you know what the perfect car for me would be? A smart car, but with one seat directly in the middle, with the steering wheel in the middle. It's just me. Like, I don't need to take anybody with me. I'll just have my little car that's perfectly me sized. And that would be perfect for me.
I have said that a million times. I'm like, that car, even as is, would be perfect size for us.
Yes.
If you just made it one seater, no back seat.
Yeah. Put the steering wheel right in the middle. Like, I don't need to take anything with me.
No.
I just need to get where I need to go.
If they can put the steering wheel on the other side for everyone in Europe.
Yeah.
They can make a one seater. Like that would be... That would be the dream car right there.
Yes.
Space. The whole underside is just open.
God, like, can you imagine how much easier life would be? Just have so much room.
And how better would that be for the environment too?
Yeah, for sure.
Right? If everyone just drove small little individual cars, or at least those folks who don't need a bigger car for kids or whatever.
Right.
There's so many opportunities I think they have, but I think... People just, and this isn't just with cars, this is with everything. This is with restaurants and malls and anywhere where you have to walk around. People just don't think, and companies just don't think of people who are, I don't even want to say different, because like everyone's fat. Like,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
Well, this is America. Like, why aren't you guys building cars for people? Like, but just because I'm fat doesn't mean I want a dowdy, frumpy car. It's like with clothes too, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's the same deal with clothes. I don't want to wear frumpy clothes just because I'm infinifat. I don't want to have a dowdy car just because I'm infinifat either.
Right,
and like,
right.
I will spend the money to have a cute car if I can fit in it.
Right. It's like they're making the majority of their products for the minority of people. And it's so dumb. And it's the same way with fashion. Like, mm-hmm. They're making the majority of clothes for, like, sizes, you know, extra small to a size 10. And that is absolutely the minority of people are in that size range. So it makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Oh, and you said also that the Trax seatbelt fits you, right?
The Trax seatbelt fits me without an extender. Like, that was... the shock of the world, because other than my old Equinox, which fit me without an extender also, I have never sat in a Chevy that I could get the belt on without like pulling it all the way up to my waist and really, you know, cinching it in and feeling like I'm going to die.
Yep.
My mom had a I can't remember what the other Chevy SUV used to be called, but she had one of those, and I in the passenger seat, the belt just didn't work for me, no matter how the seat was adjusted. But yeah, the belt fits fine. It fits, and I wear it around the bigger part of my belly, and it fits. It's fine.
That's amazing.
I died of shock because that has always been something I've expected to be an issue. I've never bought a seatbelt extender because I just like living dangerously, apparently. But it's nice to know that I don't need one in my own car.
Yeah. And well, okay. So the thing is that I should say this, that if you drive an American-made car, like a Ford, GMC, Dodge, I don't know any of the big makers. I just make this up. But any of the big American car companies, they will provide you an extender for free through your dealership. So if you end up in a car that everything works for you, but the seatbelt isn't big enough, then you can just go to the dealership and they will order you an extender for free. And then you just, you know, pick it up a week later. So just so people know that that's a possibility. If you drive a Honda or Toyota or any of the non-American makers, they do not provide seatbelt extenders, and they also do not even make them because they said it's a safety issue, which is dumb because, like, okay, which is less safe? Not wearing a seatbelt because your seatbelt doesn't fit you, or wearing a seatbelt with an extender where it has, like, multiple points where it can fail. So it's like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. Like, at least provide an extender for peace of mind if people want it. But they do not. So when I got my car, I ordered an extender on eBay, and that has worked fine. I ordered a pair of them, and that has worked fine. I know of other people that have in the past gone to a junkyard and like gone to a car that was the same make and model and like ripped out the seatbelt and made their own extender, you know, like with an industrial sewing machine, you just sew the belt. Mm-hmm. So I've seen people do that, but extenders are always available, and especially if you drive an American car, get that shit for free. Make your dealership work for you.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Thankfully you didn't need one, but just so other people know it is a possibility. And the other thing, even in my car, so my car has the telescoping steering wheel and adjustable seats. But the way the Element is made, the seats don't go back as far as I would want them to, because like the two front seats are on one height level and the back seat is like raised. So that lip where the raise is right behind the front seat line. So like I really would like my car seats to go back like another 3 inches, but they don't. So what I've done is, and I know a lot of other Infinifets do, even those who drive minivans, if you need extra butt or belly space, you can lay your seat back further, like back further than you would be able to like actually sit with your back against it and be able to drive because you'd be laying down in your car. But so this is what I do in my car. I have the seat reclined too far. And then what that allows me to do is get in and then like sit back on the back of the seat a little bit, like, because when you're huge, I shouldn't say huge. That's what I say in my regular life, but.
Well, we are. Right. It's okay. We can say the truth. Cause it's a fact. It's not an insult, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So when you're our size, like people don't, I guess thin people and people who are making cars don't realize that we're automatically like 10 inches closer to the steering wheel and the dash than thin people are because we've got giant butts. And then we also have big bellies in front of us. So it's hard. So if I lay my seat back, then I can scoot back a little further and give myself that extra couple of inches. And then I just put like a throw pillow behind my back so that I'm not just like holding myself up the whole time. And then I can rest against that. So that works for me. And I know it works for a lot of other Infinifets that I know that do that. Some don't even use a pillow. Some just, you know, sit upright the whole time and that works for them. But yeah, not me.
Yeah, that would be murder on my discs. I'm going to try that, though, because I already have it tilted back a little further than I would like. Mm-hmm. Because even with the steering wheel fully telescoped toward me, I'm tall, but I'm all leg. So I'm like 5'11", but I'm all leg. So my arms are not as long. So I am with a telescope. I can get the steering wheel, but I can't grab it on the top and like fully, you know, 10 and 3 it like you should.
Yep.
So maybe if I get a little throw pillow back there,
Yeah.
that'll help push the top my shoulders forward, because I needed to put it back a little bit to get some room for the hips in there, so
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's
or
what
the
I do.
top foot.
And it just like rests on my butt between my back and the seat, like right on my butt shelf, and works perfectly for me. So
Yes, the butt shelf, the top butt.
yeah,
The
exactly.
thing that everyone thinks is butt, but is really still your back. Yep, that.
Yeah, so you should definitely try that. Trying to think of other tricks. I think that's it. But yeah, so like you were like the sixth person in the last 6 months who's asked me about cars, and I always end up, writing a long essay to them because it's like trying to explain my issues with finding cars and how I don't really have any answers, but here's some things that you could try, and it's just so frustrating. And I just wish that there was a database somewhere that had like every measurement that you could possibly think of for every car. Like, because I need to know that measurement, the knee to knee measurement, like that width. I need to know, how much room there is between the door and if there's a console, because I need to know if I'm going to fit in it. And that just doesn't exist.
It doesn't. Someone needs to kickstart an app for that, right?
Yeah.
Like
Or maybe
all the
Aldo
infinite,
can like
right?
have a little section dedicated to autos.
Because I guarantee you that Superfats and Infinifats, we can get our hands on a tape measure and get some measurements. I
Yeah.
would happily go measure my tracks right now
Right.
if I thought it would help somebody.
Yeah, let's
'Cause
crowdsource this. Everybody just go out and measure your car right now and let us add it to an Excel spreadsheet so that we all know.
exactly. We'll put it on Google Drive. I don't know. It's that's that to me though, that was the hardest part of the process, was trying to get my emotions in check to even go to the car dealer.
Yeah.
Talking to you that day on DMs the day before really helped. Like I was DMing you from the car dealer. Like I'm sure you remember. Like I was
Yeah.
like, all right, this is happening. I was like, I had so many opinions in the moment. I was like, you need to do an episode about this. I will come talk your ear off because this is a lot. And it was a lot. In the end, I feel mostly happy with my choice. I'm sure when I have my first car payment due in about a month from today, I'm going to be a little bit less happy
Yeah.
because I ended up having to go quite a bit over what I called my comfortable monthly payment.
Yeah.
They did negotiate down for me and they found deals for me. I'm a pretty hardcore negotiator, but trying to be a hardcore negotiator in such a sensitive situation
Yeah.
when you're
And
already like,
when you feel like you don't have many options and like you found one that works for you, and it's like, do I really want to go through this at a Ford dealership or at a Honda dealership? Like it's a
right.
whole, yeah, because it's not like you can just go to one place and find every car in the world to try. Like you're limited by the car makers. So yeah, I don't blame you at all. I'm glad that you found something that at least works, even though it was more expensive than you wanted and it's not perfect.
It's not perfect, but like most things that I experience with trying to take up space or move in this world, there's no such thing as perfect yet. I love that you have this podcast. I know this sounds cheesy, but people like you are at least it's a start getting our voices out there, making sure the world knows that that we are here and we're human and we deserve to be able to move and exist in the world too. So I think that's my cheesy way of saying thank you for having me on, I guess, but
Well, thank you for being on and thank you for going through. I mean, you obviously bought a car for yourself, but thank you for blazing the trail. I feel a little bit more comfortable. I feel like I have a direction that I can go in. Another car to add to the list. Oh, that is helpful.
absolutely. And I guess good luck when it comes time for you to go. You've done so much research already, and I think you probably more than anybody could just put a post on Instagram, get 100,000 suggestions that are good from other and super fats and infinite fats. So,
I've done that on like my personal Facebook, because I have a lot of super fat and infinite fat friends, personal friends. But unfortunately, most of them drive minivans. And they're all like, minivans, I love my minivan. It's like, I'm very happy for you, but I don't want a minivan. And like, I don't mean that to like sound like I'm snotty or anything. I don't know. It's just not what I want for myself just yet.
It's not snotty because I'm there too. You know, us child-free folks are not ready to live the soccer mom life.
Right.
And it's cool. My sister is a soccer mom and I love her to death. And my dad was a super fat dad and he loved his Chrysler Town & Country minivan. And he was my favorite person in the whole world. But I'm still not going to drive a minivan.
Yeah. I'm very glad he enjoyed it, but I unfortunately do not.
Exactly.
Yeah. And actually, so this is another thing that I found in my one friend's minivan. She drives a Nissan Quest, I think. Actually, so she drives a Nissan Quest, and my other InfiniFat friend had a Nissan Quest that I used to ride in. And the seat belts, like the female end of the seatbelt, that's like the one that's by your hip, you know? For some reason, it's on like a post and it's very rigid and it is so ungodly painful. It like just like burrows a hole in your hip. And I don't know how either of them dealt with that, because every time I have to get in that car, I'm like, oh my God, this is excruciating. Please get me out of here. And like, I know my one friend, she bought the car, then realized it was a problem, and then like she has to shove a pillow against the seatbelt receptacle to drive.
Well, that is one thing that I think the Chevys do right. The Trax is actually better than my old Equinox was. That thing is completely flexible, and the one on the old Equinox was covered in a harder plastic. It was more firm, and it got cracked. And then at that point, where it was cracked would pinch my skin sometime, that was not cute. But this new one, it's almost – I don't even know what material it is, but it's totally flexible type plastic, and it just moves around with me. So that's really nice. That is actually something I'm really happy with. I'm happy that my seatbelt insert thing is not pinching my butt anymore.
God, that would be awful.
The struggle was real with that old car. Yeah. There's too many problems, both size and mechanical related to list.
Yeah. Well, thankfully you're in something now. And I mean, at least it's new and you probably aren't going to have a lot of problems with it for a while at least. So yes, that's a blessing.
Yeah, that's the other thing. And maybe you can cut this in where it works in the story or leave it here. The finance guy who did the final paperwork, and that's when they sell you on warranties and gap insurance and stuff like that. He really, and I could tell he was targeted doing this, got in my head about the fact that the normal warranty, that's the 36,000 miles, 3 years warranty, doesn't cover wear. But the extended warranty, of course, does. So he was talking about, like, if you have issues with your seat, if you have issues with the console cracking, and that'll be covered if you buy up and you buy the extended warranty. And I could tell where he was trying to go. And I was salty about it, but I also kind of got the point, and I did end up buying the extended warranty for way more than I was wanting to increase the monthly payment for the overall thing. But those car people, they know how to read you, because it's not just the salesperson. It is everyone in there. That finance guy, he really knew that was what I was going to worry about. He hit me there, and he hit me with the fact that, like, if one of the new fancy pants computers that are in cars go out, that, you know, that's $7,500 out of pocket to fix. But if you get the extended warranty, you just pay the deductible. So it's like, ugh, fine. But it was like, don't ever tell them you're technologically oriented, because they will use that against you too.
Jeez. Oh, that's so frustrating.
Yeah. So it was like every step of the way they made it feel like they were being really kind and accommodating. And really, that lady was nice. She told me, like, the first time I need to refill the tank, just bring it by and they'll do it there. Like, really, truly kind, and like $100 off your first, you know, service and stuff like that. But they knew, I really do feel like, having had a week and a half to look back on this, that they knew that I was in, like, they knew, like you said, I didn't have many options.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they led me where they led me.
Yeah. That sucks so hard. 'Cause it's like, yeah, they can tell that, like, if you can fit in a car, you're going to buy it, and they can sell whatever they want to you. Ugh, so frustrating.
And it sucks because, you know, I'm not stupid, and most people aren't, but, you know, they train these sales folks. They know how to find that thing that's important to you and really dig there.
Yeah.
And, it was unfortunate, that whole thing that went down with the warranty. I forgot to bring that up earlier, but that I regret doing. My brother-in-law, when I told him I did it, he was like, "You're crazy." He's like, "I don't know what you were thinking with that. You increased your payment by $50 a month for no good reason." And I was like, "But the guy had a point. Like, what if I snapped the seat off the tracks? You know, I'm not going to be able to afford to pay out of pocket to fix that." So it's like, well, he got me. I was like, "You got me, gal."
Yeah.
There I am, promising to pay that. But so all of that stuff to think about. Like, you have to be prepared from the moment you walk in to explain what your needs are, but explain it in a way that's not going to let them use it against you, because they will then for the entire rest of the process.
Yep, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And it feels so predatory, because, like, I don't know. It just feels like when you walk in the door, they have your number and they're like, "I know exactly what I can do here." So I don't know. It just makes me so uncomfortable. And, like, it doesn't do you any good to, like, take a guy or what, all that advice that people give to women. Doesn't do you any good, because they know how to read men too, and, like, talk them into buying all kinds of shit that you don't need. So, so frustrating.
It is. Get it together, car salespeople. We all need to buy cars. You don't need to be so shady about it.
Right.
Because we need the car, right? So you might as well just be honest with us about it. Let it get shady when it comes down to price, but don't try to get people into something that's not right for them. And, you know, because the car works and it's comfortable enough when I'm driving and it's safe, like, I'm fine. I'm happy. I'm not super miserable about it. But when I totally review the moments leading from when my old car had that transmission issue on Friday to driving away 24 hours later with a new car on Saturday, looking back on it, it's just, all I can think of is things that I would have done differently. But honestly, like, what can you do? It's like, hindsight's not going to change anything.
Right. And you needed something, and, like, it's a horrifying process, and you knew that it was going to be, like, if you had to go to a different dealership on a different day, this process would be 100 times more debilitating. Like, can you imagine having to have gone to, like, multiple dealerships to get this done? Like,
I thought about going the next day and maybe, because I live in an apartment complex that's right off a huge row of car dealers. Like, all the big dealers are within a mile of my house. So I was thinking, you know, especially when I was ready to walk out the door, like, midway through, like, after the sixth car I tried to put my butt in, like, I was like, maybe I should just go back tomorrow and, like, do Ford or do the Jeeps across the street. But then it was like, I had that moment and I was like, it's 100 out today and it's supposed to be 107 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, no, I can't. Yeah. Like, I am already exhausted. If I try to go back to work on Monday after doing that 2 days in a row, the whole week was going to be a nightmare.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I don't blame you at all. And thankfully, you found something that works.
Yes, I'll have to reconvene with you after a year or something and let you know what has, quote unquote, worn off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did I snap the emergency brake off with my butt? We will find out.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. I'm careful with my things.
Thank you so much to Sarah for sharing her experience and going through this whole thing and being willing to talk a bit with us. This is still a huge concern. And I am not looking forward to this process. And so I hope that anybody that's out there who is facing this daunting, daunting purchase got some use out of this. And I hope you know that you're not alone. We're all feeling it. And hopefully things will improve in the future. and we'll have better options, better designs, fat people. We can all hope. So thank you, Sarah, again for coming on the show today. You did an excellent job. Also, thank you to our Patreon patrons. The Patreon patron of the day is Monica. Thank you, Monica, for pledging and for supporting the show. It means the whole world. And if you would also like to become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/thefatlip. You can do so for as little as $1 an episode, $2 a month. And really, the Patreon patrons are the lifeblood of this show. They're the whole reason that I do this, or that I can do this. So they're super important. Also, thank you to Big Fig for sponsoring the show. Also, super important to the existence of the show. So if you're in the market for a mattress, please do consider Big Fig. And don't forget to use the code FATLIP at checkout so that they know that I sent you. Thank you to Star Crusher for the music you heard on today's show. To hear more from him, go to seestarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And be sure to follow The Fat Lip on social media. Instagram is where I'm the most active lately. I haven't been super active on Instagram, but I'm going to get back there. It's just been crazy, crazy couple of months. But we have a pretty active community, especially for InfiniFats on Instagram. So if you are looking for us, if you're looking for representation for SuperFats and InfiniFats, Instagram is the place to be. So don't hesitate to connect there. Also, you can catch me on Twitter and Facebook. But again, Instagram is the best place. All right. That's all we have for today. I have another episode coming, a shorter episode coming, at the beginning of next week, so watch out for that. And in the meantime, I hope you take care, and please reach out if you have a story that you'd like to tell on the show, or if you have a concern about super fatdom or InfiniFatdom, and you just want to talk through it, because that's what I like to do. I am here for you. We're all here for you. So, take care. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.